Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Monday edition. The Jeff and Monroe's wedding. Although I don't think Carrie and Kevin would like me to refer to it that way. Was a blast edition. The congratulations on your first day of work, Paula Wilde. Back into coaching. Very excited for her. I'm on my own all week edition. The I had friends who played in a baseball tournament in the greater Madison Metroplex, and lo and behold, on the outfield wall, a Wilde and Tausch banner edition. I was pretty excited to get that picture. What a great weekend edition of Wilde and Tausch. A 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free ESPN Wisconsin app, which I think I've got more than a few converts from the wedding. They all remember Tausch. Oh, it's always how I explain. So what radio show are you on? I say, are you a Packers fan? They say, yes. Remember Mark Tauscher? Oh, yeah, he's one of my favorites. Okay, well, I do the show with him every day, 9 to noon, across ESPN Wisconsin. I'm Jace Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And in honor of the Oklahoma City Thunder winning the NBA Finals, from his undisclosed location in his Bucks championship hat, he is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. So you finally found out that we've had a Wilde and Tausch sign in the Spy Bass, Sun Prairie Youth Baseball Association. We've had it for 5 years down there. Is this the first you've heard of it? Is that accurate?
No, first of all, I thought it was on a softball diamond because I know we sponsored a team that was expertly coached by someone other than you, by Sarah.
Sarah T.
Happy belated birthday.
Yep.
To her and to Ron in the Keys' wife, I think I'm supposed to say.
Yeah,
to
Ron in the Keys, calling me out thinking that I needed to like send Sarah on some tropical vacation. Ron, you do you. Old T, we'll do us. But I always appreciate Ron making sure everybody remembers Sarah's birthday.
So,
including me.
So
that's not an invite to call, Ron.
Well, I mean, he could call.
He can't call. He's in some tropical paradise with a bed floating over a pool. I don't know where he's at. I don't need to know where he's at, FYI, but congratulations.
Never meet your heroes. Never meet your stalkers. Yeah.
I'm still mad that I met him.
So I knew that we had a banner at a softball diamond, but this was a baseball tournament, and I didn't know that it was also a baseball field, well, or Jason, there's two banners somewhere.
They're multi-use. Okay. You got to find green space. You got to play games. So, yeah.
Yeah, I thought the fence for a softball game and a baseball game might be different. That's all. So I was excited. Okay. Right. Sid's friend Bryn was there watching her brother play in a tournament. So I hope the Preble Futures fared well. It was a tight game from what I understand with whoever they were playing. 0-0 entering the eighth inning. So, but the sign looked beautiful throughout the entire game.
Something.
Yeah, you don't hear that very often. It was a great weekend. Jeff and Monroe.
All right, tell me about it.
Jeff and Monroe.
First off, who paid for the wedding? Who paid for the wedding? And then let's hear about
Craig. Craig Thompson. Also known as Scott Thompson, which is his actual name. There were some references to that during the reception. Great father of the bride speech. Held it together as he walked her down the aisle.
What made it great? Because you're going to have two opportunities more than likely in your life.
He had a great prop. He had Carrie's favorite stuffed animal from her youth that she had grown up loving, taking everywhere, and she had not taken it with her when she moved out to go to college, and then now she and Kevin being married in their home. And so he surprised everyone. Apparently it had been in storage, and he had a great little story about it. So always good to be a prop comic. He's very naturally funny, Scott/Craig. So he crushed the speech. And again, as the girls and Paula and I were discussing afterward, he did a great job of holding it together. There's no way I'm going to be able to walk them down the aisle and not cry in both instances. So the fact that he held his emotions in check and wasn't a blubbering idiot, I commend him, because I will not be able to do that. But it was great. They took your picture when you came in, and then what they did, they have an artist who then would take your picture and do a watercolor of you. Mm-hmm. Like, not with your face. Like, your face is blank, because that would take forever for all the guests. But it was, first of all, kudos to her. I looked way slimmer in the painting than I did in real life, so thank you for that. And then they put it in a book, and then you signed by it. It was a brilliant idea, and Carrie's very artistic, so I understood why they did that. But talked to Jeff for quite a while. He said something that I hope resonates, and I hope lots of our fans feel this way, like Ron and the Key and everyone else. He said, "I know this sounds weird, but it feels like you guys are my friends." And I said, I hope everybody feels that way.
Aww.
Yeah,
so it was a great time. I still find it amazing. Okay. And there's been a lot of things that have happened in recent weeks. Jesse being recognized in the jury box, for example.
Okay. I'm still not over that one.
I still would like to, at some point, talk about one of our listeners who passed away, and we were mentioned in their obituary. That hit me really hard, that we meant that much to someone that their family chose to mention that. Being out and about and seeing how many people are come to when we do a show. Now, I did have to admit, when Jeff asked me about attendance at the second appearance at Hard Rock Casino Rockford, that we did come on a Wednesday when there was half price lunches for seniors, and so it created the image that it was standing room only for our show, and many of them were just fans of the lunch and the nickel and penny slots, which are right nearby.
They're fans of us now.
We converted some. I did like the one guy that came and got his picture taken with Tausch and had no idea why we were there, but I think we converted him. I think he's going to join listening now, because Tausch was so nice to him. But it was amazing that Jeff and Monroe, totally unconnected other than listening to our show and playing trivia, was the father of the groom of a wedding that I attended that involved the girl's essentially big sister that they never had. I still can't get over that, the small worldness of that. And so
I'm just glad you showed up for it. That's pretty awesome that you actually went.
Again.
Because we've seen this movie before.
I think I've made the policy clear.
Wow. You have a policy. Oh, the break genius has a policy, does he?
It's an Ed policy. It's a kid policy, more accurately. But it was great. They had those. I don't want to give any free advertising because they don't sell ice cream. They do sell small Bundt cakes. I won't say the name of the bakery.
Do they sell anything else?
I don't think there's nothing else that they sell.
Really well executed there, Jesse. They do have a location right by the Pickler. Shameless plug for the Pickler over on Holmgren Way. Those were delish. Dinner was great. It was really, really fun. So we had a great time, and then we hurried back early in the night to get back because Sydney had another soccer game in the morning. She was juggling both being at a wedding and playing in a soccer tournament. So kudos to her. All right, that was my weekend.
Just wait a second. Did you go to the actual ceremony?
Of course. Only a jerk would skip the ceremony.
Did you stay for the dance?
We stayed for one dance. We stayed for speeches and one dance, and we were out the door.
So you didn't stay for the dance. You stayed for one. You didn't stay for the dance.
Are we going to debate what's the most important portion of the event to go to?
You didn't stay for the dance, which is fine. You left early.
You leave Packers games late second quarter also?
He leaves Bucks games. I know that.
Again, if there's a ballerina way to be picked up, yes, I do. If there's a soccer game to be played bright and early, which thank God it was, because it was about 150 degrees by mid-afternoon in our fair city. It was great. So congratulations to Carrie and Kevin. Many, 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 many happy years for you. We wish you. It was great.
Was it a plated deal? Was it a buffet?
It was plated.
It family style?
Plated.
Plated.
Yeah,
okay.
I had the steak. Paula had the vegetarian meal.
Of course you did.
The girls had the kids' meals.
Okay.
Which were noodles.
I think the most underrated of the, because you really only have three options when you're at a wedding. You got plated, you got family style, and you got buffet. I do believe family style is the best. I think family style is the best option. It gives you
forces interaction.
You don't have to go through. You don't have to go through and say, "Well, Jason, did you get the steak? Oh, well, Paula got the vegetarian." Da, 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 da. This way, it's like here's the food. Eat them as much as you want. Eat as little as you want. Here it is, and then you don't have to have the buffet. Oh, well, table 17, head on up. Boom, family style, the way to go when you're talking about efficiency of all parties. When it comes to weddings, period, thin.
Stays hotter, also family style. We learned that. When you plate it and they're bringing it around, it's cooling off when they're bringing it around, as opposed to family style, comes straight out, boom.
And you got to put the little thing on top of it. There's more man and woman power to do it. Family style, you fire a bowl of dressing, you put a little chicken, bam, here you go. This is what you want, take it. Oh, you need a little bit more? Oh, great. Hey, Johnny, can you hand that down here? Oh, hey, Johnny, thanks for handing the chicken. Oh, how are you doing? Conversation goes a little smoother. You bring the table together with family style. Plates, you'd sit there, you do it, and you're done. Family style brings everybody together. That's the way I would do it.
Aunt Sandy only wants one piece of chicken and a little bit of veggies. Old T wants five pieces of
chicken. Sandy, you're cutting back
a
little bit?
Yeah, we're
Sandy,
good.
You look good. You're cutting back. Oh, good work, Sandy. Yeah.
Wait a minute. If you're having family style and there is Quick Trip chicken, because, of course, that's the only place we get our chicken, and you're passing it around and Sandy only takes one piece, you, in front of the entire table, are going to proclaim, just to be clear, Aunt Sandy, are you cutting back a little? Looking sleek like Gina Della.
If Sandy...
I love the fact that you're trying to slim down and only taking one piece of chicken. Usually you take like five or six.
If Sandy is putting in good effort trying to get healthier, I want to support Sandy. Yes. Yep. I'm not going to do it to a total stranger.
Do you find that to be supportive?
But Aunt Sandy, yeah. I don't know.
Oh, Sandy, I would expect it. I assume you're going to get two helpings of dessert then. Okay. Well, that's nice that you're very supportive of Sandy.
Sounds like there's plenty of bundt cakes floating.
There
around.
Were lots of
red
different
velvet,
flavors.
Too. By the way, best bundt cake. Red velvet.
They had carrots.
Best bundt cake.
Lemon.
Yeah, okay.
Classic vanilla. It was very good.
But you had to have red velvet. Had to have been there.
I did not see that, but I'm not a red velvet guy.
You don't do a bundt right cake away. Deal without red velvet.
Yeah, you gotta have it.
If you don't have red velvet,
just,
you might as well not even
have if we
cake.
Could just recap, I go to a wedding, and you have now second-guessed both the selection of bundt cakes and the style of meal that was delivered.
No, I haven't second-guessed. I've generalized.
You proclaimed.
There's no second-guessing.
I do declare family style is the right way to have a wedding meal. That is what happened.
Am I inaccurately portraying what has occurred? I went... You told your stories. I thought they were great. And then I just wanted to bring it back around. This is how I would do it.
He's done nothing but second guess.
Not bad. Not as good as the first one. Did they make anything else that was really
That is
good?
Pretty good.
Well, whether you're Aunt Sandy or you're Gina Della, who is sleek, and I feel much more comfortable now talking about how good she looks because she is now branched out from... Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Every time I open my Instagram, I've got a lot of her talking about why she looks as good as she does.
A lot less of her.
Indeed, a lot more posts, a lot less of her. And she looks great, and your windows will look great if you replace them with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, indeed, and it is time to upgrade those windows and or doors. Jason mentioned it's hot. We talk about the wintertime. You want, that money flies out. You got a little leaky window. Well, same thing with that cold air. Keep you nice and chilly in the house. If it's time to upgrade and you don't want to spend a fortune, you just had a big wedding and you had family style or you had bundt cakes and you're looking to, I don't know. You know what? My budget's a little tighter. Pella, the best in the industry, will have a product line for every budget. Right now, you get no interest and you just, let's say you had a big expenditure, like a wedding per se. And it's just a big chunk comes out. And you can't do anything for 2 years. Well, Pella's got you. No interest and no payments for up to 2 years. So if the plan is to wait, guess what? You can get it now and pay later. Start making those payments 2 years later. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends at the end of June. Set your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
So Tyrese Halliburton ruptures his Achilles, it appears. And I only had one thought. One. I'll tell you what it was. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
We'll talk to our Bucks buddy Justin Garcia coming up about the NBA Finals and Giannis and all things NBA. But first, last night...
How much gamesmanship do you think in youth sports you should use? Like with the clock, and Jesse knows this as an ump, when there's a time limit and the game is kind of, it's not even really tight. I don't have any problem. Whatever the rules are, I want you to use. And there's home plate is closed, and so we had a softball tournament in Beaver Dam. A lot of great Beaver Dam fans. We need to go up and do a remote in Beaver Dam. Jesse, put that on a calendar. We need to find a time to get to Beaver Dam.
I'm literally going and doing the Dam Sports Show in Beaver Dam this afternoon. So
Fantastic. A lot of good fans up in Beaver Dam. Had a nice breakfast after we got eliminated at 8 blanket a.m. on a Sunday after a bunch of graduation parties. So you have an hour. Okay, there's a 1 hour. You don't start a new inning.
Sure.
And so this team is beating us up. We're down 5. Eleanor's team is down 5. This is not our 100.5 ESPN Madison. This is a different team. So down
14-30 ESPN Beaver Dam team.
We end up we end up having our almost as like, all right, get done with this inning so we can reset to play the last inning, because you got to start the inning before this clock starts. Well, we go, and we didn't probably go as fast as we should have, but we get out on the diamond, and the girl from the other team is in the batter's box. The coach yells, "Step out of the box! Step out of the box!" She steps out of the box. The clock goes. Game over. All this stuff, you run out. I thought that was IPT. Like, you're up five. You're gonna win the game. You're gonna advance. I get it. Everybody wants to win. But we're here. We only get three blanket innings. I gotta scrounge myself up at 6:15 in the morning to get Eleanor to warm up an hour before an 8 a.m. game on Sunday. Not real happy about that.
Clearly.
And then we're eliminated at 8:59 because this girl backs out of the batter's box before we can pitch. We'd have gotten one more round of at-bats. We'd have gotten beat. We'd have gotten knocked out. I went to set a word. It would have been fine. I didn't love it, but I have to say, as a coach, it is gamesmanship. It's within the rules. What say you?
A question before I answer.
Of course.
And again, I appreciate how inconvenient the timing of the game was. But have you, in your long and storied Pat Murphy-esque career as a coach or manager, manipulated the clock at any point yourself by, like, Sydney soccer coach, for example, really good coach, when you have a lead and to use up time, because obviously they don't stop the clock for substitutions, but they stop play, he would sub a lot toward the end of the game to kind of, again, use up some clock, which is obviously counted upon to decide when the game ends. Have you ever engaged in this, as you called it, gamesmanship, before I render my decision on the appropriateness of this?
Never to that degree, no. Have we ever went and said, hey, take a couple extra pitches in your warm-up, make sure you're not rushing things, but no, I have never been to the point where get out of the box so that this thing ends. No. Yeah. Okay. As a matter of fact, I've seen it the other way where people are not even celebrating home runs because they have to. I never really loved the hard stop. I think it's a bad thing, or you know, I just don't love that. I get it. You have to keep the tournaments going. So I understand it, and afterwards I kind of thought it was a little BL, but again, it was within the rules and they executed it. So
Bush League.
While I'm irritated about it, I can't pout and cry because it was in the rules.
Yeah, I would say this. I feel like the rule is poorly written if you're able to do that. I would argue that the new inning should be considered as starting when the defensive team runs out onto the field.
I would agree.
So I think this was IPT because the spirit of the rule was essentially violated. If you are in the batter's box ready for the pitch and the clock has not struck zero, that inning should be played.
Yeah,
that would be my opinion.
I think you want to get some at bats. You want to, like,
right? Even if
you're
going to
win the game,
you get your kids some extra reps. You could even sub.
I don't get it.
You got a 5-run lead. Get some people playing time that they might not normally get.
This thing will annoy you too. They have, because it's 10U softball, they have home plate closed, which is fine.
I don't understand what that means.
Ball gets past the catcher. You can go from first to second to third, but you can't.
Mm-hmm.
You have to score on a hit, or ball needs to be thrown.
No stealing.
But
home.
You can't on a pass ball.
That's what we hit too.
I think it's a really good rule.
Totally agree.
But then you can still score on a throwback to the pitcher. So what happens?
What?
And
hate
this
that.
I have.
Yeah.
I don't have any problem because we do this. We always are pushing the envelope on running bases. I think that's just good baseball and softball.
Mm-hmm.
But they force the catcher to run down every time, in essence, taking time off the clock to run back. And then our catcher turned her back, and then the girl ran and ended up scoring. And either home plate is open or it's closed, period. It has to be scored on a run or not. Don't try and reinvent the wheel. Those are my two complaints from our tournament. Otherwise, it seemed like everything was fine.
How did pool play work? Did you play a lot of different teams, or did you play the same teams?
The pool play was set up great. Yeah, no problems. There was cross pollination. There was different teams that won. They go in championship bracket. You go third place. It was actually a really well executed tournament from that front.
I really appreciate the content that comes from the various tournaments you play in. I don't want you to get a reputation for just airing your baseball or softball grievances on the program. Mm-hmm.
I've said a lot of great things about tournaments too.
Have you?
I have.
Like what?
We had a great breakfast.
I just said the tournament over that the Mallards ran was fantastic. They had the
what
the
tournament
field,
that the Mallards
great.
Ran? This is the first I've heard of a tournament run by the Mallards.
Jason, here's what we don't get. I don't want to get after you about this, but I'm going to tell you right now. I don't think people are as interested in when I talk about how great everything goes, like smooth. People like to be able to kind of relate and say, oh, that is irritating. That is. If I sit here and say, oh, boy, my kid is a beast. He's really good at this. Oh, my kid are athletes that are getting – like, that's just not – that's not how I want to do it. So, you
but don't get defensive, all right?
You just got after me about telling me that
I just asked you that, and then you said, "Oh,
Jason.
I talked about how great the Mallards tournament is." Please call in 844-770-3776 if you heard Tausch talk about a Mallards tournament. Was it when I wasn't here?
It was really good, so I didn't need to.
That's my point. I talked about how great the Mallards tournament
You're
was.
You're telling me
but you didn't.
I'm Johnny Grumpy and only complain about stuff. And when I don't say anything, I'm not complaining. Is that not accurate? I need a Coors Light. Whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying the experience during the game, or celebrating a big win, or you're fighting with your co-host about Lord knows what, you just need a moment to chill. Crack open a Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light. Coors Light is brewed with a 3-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged. So it is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
I didn't even get to weigh in, and I'm the umpire on the panel.
Not only that, we never got to
do is complain about tournaments and all that.
Not what I said.
I've said many times.
Play the tape.
That is exactly what you said. It's what you said.
You'll have to wait to hear the thought I had when Tyrese Halliburton tore his Achilles. Ed Helm sucks. But Justin Garcia doesn't.
NBA Finals recap.
He joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Jim Rutledge from Jim, Matt, and Molly, a finalist for Best of Madison Radio Team for the third year in a row. Help us win it all this year and vote every day this month at madisonmagazine.com/BOM.
Joining us now to discuss whatever complaints he has with softball and baseball tournaments and the like. Oh, and
I think we're
going
to – now we're actually talking about that Mallards tournament and how great it was run. And I didn't bring anything up. That's what we were going to talk about.
It'll be the first time we've talked about it, that sounds like a great idea.
You're such a jerk. You're a jerk.
And maybe we'll get to my thought when I saw Tyrese Halliburton go to the floor with what clearly, once again, boy, is there any more identifiable of an injury by non-doctors than Achilles tears? He is our Bucks buddy. You hear him on the Bucks Radio Network. He is fantastic at what he does. He is Justin Garcia on Wildy and Tausch. Justin, good morning. How are you?
Good, guys. How are you?
Well, I'd like your feedback on when a new inning starts in a softball tournament. What's amazing about how that turned is that I completely agreed with Tausch that it was Bush League and it should have started as soon as the previous inning had ended with the clock still running. Do you agree?
I agree. I caught the tail end of it. It was just fast. Like, is this the whole show today? I'm curious to see how long this is going to go on here. But yes, I agree with the
overall the same thing
viewpoint.
All right. So yeah, I would
too.
Like to tell you
me too.
Will you get your tees paid off from 20 minutes ago?
It'd be great. I'd love to tell you about my thought when I saw Tyrese Halliburton crumple to the floor last night. Thank God the Milwaukee Bucks and their medical staff did not allow Giannis onto a basketball court during the playoffs last season with his calf strain. Because what is it now? It's KD, right? KD had this number of years ago.
2019.
Right? We've got now Halliburton joins that group. I don't know if Tatum was dealing with something like that.
No.
He was.
Not a calf. But, like, the Dame one, Dame and Halliburton are kind of explainable when you see Dame dealt with a blood clot in his calf and clearly had to work into conditioning to come back. Halliburton dealing with that as well. And I saw a handful of national guys point out, too, like, man, I get it's the finals and you got to push forward, but I really hope we don't see a Kevin Durant situation. He just kind of filed it away like, okay, that's really putting the bad news out there. But to see it happen, look, I know Bucks fans hate the Pacers. I said after that first round series, I thought the Pacers were going to win the East. We did our predictions for the Lockdown Network. I was one of two people. I think you can guess who the other was to pick the Pacers to win this series. Because
Jesse Nelson?
No. The Tony East, who does a great job covering the Pacers, was the other one.
Homer.
But totally. Because I just – this team – yeah, and not anything Jesse Nelson would have done, certainly. This team
I mean, I did
was
pick
just
– and won,
good. Yeah.
Won some money on
won
him.
Won some money on him. Yeah.
He did make
the
money
thing
on
about
him. That's true.
The Pacers, they just didn't have a weakness. And, you know, going into that game last night, I felt like they were going to win because, I mean, number one, how many times, I don't think it's ever happened that a team, and this is really cherry-picking stats, but a team loses a finals game by the margin the Thunder did and still end up winning that series. It's never happened. But this Pacers team just, you know, it was such a great series and competitive throughout the first six games. It was arguably the best series in terms of the basketball play that we have seen in over two decades, and it just kind of left, 7 minutes into the game, and Tyrese Halliburton goes down, and we saw it with Dame. If you were watching the playoffs, you saw it with Tatum. We've seen it enough now that, unfortunately, I think we're all trained enough to know what that was when you could see him plant.
Mm-hmm.
JG, I was on with Vince and the boys on WTMJ this morning, and they referred to the Pacers now after this loss, and with Halliburton more than likely going to miss a vast majority of next season if he plays at all, as a middling team in the East.
No.
I can tell you're not, but what I want to ask is, if Giannis is back, who would you rather be? The Pacers with their lineup without Halliburton or the Bucks without Dame?
Well, who would I rather be next season or next season and beyond?
Yes. Next season.
Well, which one?
Next season? Yep.
Well, we also have to see what the Bucks do. Because even if you have Giannis, if Gary Trent Jr. and Brooke and Kevin Porter Jr. and Bobby, if they leave, you need a lot of help. And look, Indiana is interesting because I would not classify them as middling. They were clearly the best team in the conference. And we talk so much about gap year for the Celtics and what happens with them if they sell off parts with the Tatum injury. It's been kicked around with the Bucks. It's not quite as applicable there. The Pacers could have a true gap year. And what gets lost in all of this was the convenience of timing that last week the Pacers traded their first rounder this year to get control of their first rounder next year back, which takes them out of that stepping in rule where they control their draft going forward. And for that to happen, now knowing we have control of our pick, Miles Turner's a free agent. They said before that game they're willing to go under the tax for the first time, I believe, ever under owner Herb Simon and pay to keep him, and we're thinking somewhere around $30 million. Miles Turner's a good player. Miles Turner did not have a good finals, was not good in the conference finals. And he's certainly younger and not quite as, I don't want to say immobile, but not stone-footed as much as Brook Lopez. But I think Miles Turner is closer in terms of his play style to Brook Lopez than a guy like Jericho Sims in that type of center. And I don't know that that's the guy I want to lock $30 million into, especially now that you have Halliburton likely out for the season for this to end. They're happening in late June. Mm-hmm. The Pacers now having control of their draft next year and having that decision on Miles Turner, they could very easily say, you know what? This is a gap year. We have our pick back. We cannot tank, but we don't have to worry about making the playoffs. We can get a little cap relief and maybe do a signage rate with Miles Turner and get some assets back, maybe move some other guys that in a year or so, their contract, like an Obi Toppin, is going to start to become onerous. They're going to be interesting to monitor there, where next year, middling, maybe. But I think if you just said these teams are the same, no Halliburton, no Dame for the Bucks, every other piece is the same, I think they're still right around where they were and within a game or two of each other.
Talking with Justin Garcia, our Bucks buddy on Wilde and Tausch. All right, so we're talking about Halliburton. We're talking about Dame, Jason Tatum. The Knicks don't have, unless you're going to break news on our program, you're not, they don't have a coach yet, right? And we're like 2 days before the draft.
Yeah, it's still no coach, still waiting.
So how do you view where the East stands? And if Giannis calls you, you know, he calls Eric Name first, and Eric Name says, sorry, Giannis, I'm in the middle of something, call JG for advice. Are you not looking at this and going, hey, man, even with Dame out till the playoffs at best, this conference is there for the taking. You're probably better off here than, I don't know, saying going to the West, where even Utah plans on competing. Does the landscape affect anything here?
So I was talking about this with someone else earlier this morning, in that, man, if we are to assume the Pacers, even if they run it back and keep everyone, they were a four seed this year and they got off to a really slow start and Halliburton was dealing with injuries earlier in the season. Aaron Nesmith missed a big chunk of time. But, you know, this team, when the Bucks beat them on New Year's Day or New Year's Eve, they're below 500. And there was a lot of, I guess the Pacers or the Atlanta Hawks from a couple of years ago. That's where they finished. So even taking Halliburton off, best case scenario, if they bring this group back and they say, hey, we got health and we figure out how to play together, I still think they're like a 4-5 seed. Celtics, I don't think, and I don't think any of us think, are going to be a top 4 seed here. The Knicks are bringing back most of their guys, we think. Who knows? But you got to find a new coach. And does that coach want to play a different way? And what does that mean for the chemistry of the team? So we'll see how that unfolds. The Cavs are the interesting team to me because it seems like they're the stealth team that is going to do something significant, because we've had the conversation year over year. I don't know if these pieces fit together. When you talk about Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland and Mobley and Jared Allen, I don't think all those guys are on the team next season. I think Cleveland looks to do something pretty big here, but you know, all of us could say anytime you do something significant, it has those ripple effects you don't really anticipate. Mm-hmm. Have we entered a spot where the Orlando Magic are going to be viewed as the favorites going into the next Ooh. Season here with the move they made to bring in Desmond Bane? Like, it kind of feels like of that's course. Where we're headed. And to your point, you know, if you're the Bucks, this was the sell job all along to tell Giannis, look, the conference is open. You are the best player in the conference. You give us a chance. If we have that, and if we bring back most of this group, which we need your sell-off on, and we need you to recognize you'll be here, that we can spin that to guys like Gary Trent Jr. and Bobby Portis and Kevin Porter Jr. But, you know, all of a sudden, without doing anything, if you retain your guys, going from the bleakest output of, you know, a handful of Bucks fans thinking, is Giannis going to be traded, to the other saying, why is this a play-in tournament team? To all of a sudden seeing injuries to Tatum and Halliburton and saying, well, could this team finish fourth in the Eastern Conference this season? Like, stranger things have happened, and this will be the – look, you want Giannis back in the MVP conversation? Next season is it, with a down Eastern Conference and saying the way we played those final eight games of the regular season and in the playoffs where you're basically Nikola Jokic for us, that's how you become the MVP once again.
You think JG, the Magic are the favorites in the Eastern Conference?
Oh, God. So, Jesse, can you pull up a list as I'm talking with JG of the free agents and of the folks? I want to get JG to say yes or no. They
of every single free agent
on this team.
Not in the entire league, no. Just the Bucks, right?
Not the, just
all
the
right,
Bucks,
let's
guys.
Start with the Brooklyn
but
Nets.
Realistically, with the Bucks sitting, what are
Atlanta
they at? 47th
Hawks. Let's go
pick, is that where they're at? They got the 47th pick Thursday
yeah.
night because they split it now, which is smart. Wednesday is first round and Thursday second. Correct me if
I'm
wrong.
I mean, is it smart? Do we need 2 days for a two-round draft?
Can't wait to tune in for the second round of the draft.
Right. Well, that's what, if you're a Bucks fan – and you want to get a player, that's what you're going to do, more
you're
than
right.
likely.
I mean, look, not to sidetrack too much, but if we're going to do 2 days for the draft, right,
yeah.
If we're going to do a two-day draft, just do the lottery day one and everything else is day two. Because to Jason's point, you know what? I want to check out the second round of the draft.
So you just want to do what? Is that 14, 15 picks? Is that what you're saying?
14, yeah.
I like
I'm on board
idea.
With that plan.
Yeah.
I like that, JG.
You know what he just did?
I think you should do the lottery right there, too. Make this thing happen right now. You don't have 3 months to figure it out. That could be another.
Oh, so you plan. Just do the actual draft lottery.
Do the actual lottery
you 10
right
minutes.
There.
You oh,
yep,
I like
10
that.
Minutes. Let's go. Here you go, Dallas. You want to keep old boy or what? That's kind of where you're at. All right, so, Justin, as we're sitting here, and you mentioned some of the free agents, and you got – Connaughton opts in, which doesn't surprise anybody.
Yeah.
He's more than likely going to either be a piece that the Bucks try to just use as an expiring contract or whatnot. What can Milwaukee do this offseason, in your opinion, realistically, to get better? And will they stay where they're going to be an apron or a big-time luxury payer if they keep Giannis? Is that going to be a part of the deal?
Okay, so no, not really, at least to the second part. Like I don't think they're not gonna be a second apron team next year. And they're very likely gonna be hard capped at the first apron. I'll just say, not to get too nerdy, but they have more things available to them that they can use now this offseason. If you use those, it hard caps you at the first apron, which is I forget how close they are to it, but they're going to be under that level in the first apron is $195 million. So they're going to be operating below that figure in terms of cap. They're big free agents. Bobby Portis has a player option. You mentioned Pat Connaughton already picked up his, but Bobby has a player option. Kevin Porter Jr. has a player option. Then you have the free agents. Jericho Sims is a free agent. Gary Trent Jr. is a free agent. Torian Prince hasn't really been mentioned this offseason. He's a free agent as well. And then Brook Lopez. I think, based on everything you've been able to suss out, Gary Trent Jr. is their number one priority here. Still 26 years old. He fit perfectly with this team, especially once they put him back in the starting lineup. So I do feel like he's going to be back next season. Bobby Portis is interesting because he's made comments recently saying how much he loves it here, would love to stay here, but he's taking team-friendly deals, which he has, and he'd like to get paid. I just don't know where the money's going to come from because there are two teams that have pure cap space this summer, just two. There's five teams, I think, in the second apron, four that are in that first apron level, and then basically half the league is where the Bucks are in that they have veteran minimums, they have the non-tax pyramid level, which is $14.1 million, and they can also use a biannual exception, which, as it states, you can use every other year, which is just over $5 million. If you use those, it hard caps you at that $195 million range. But that's where half the league is operating. And for guys like Gary Trent Jr. and Bobby Portis, they both play at positions where there are better free agents at that position this summer that are going to command more attention than them. So I just wonder how many more guys we're going to see. Maybe it's not the veteran minimum, but having to take half of the mid-level and all of a sudden looking at it and saying, wow, Bobby Portis signed for 3 years, $33 million, and he's taken $11 million a year when he was making $13 million last year and wanted to make, you know, upwards of $15 to $18 million more per year starting this summer. That I just don't think the money's going to be there for some of these guys once the free agency starts to dry up. So I think that does bode well for the Bucks to say, look, we have these things we can use to keep guys. We have bird rights, which means you can pay beyond the mid-level, and you can pay whatever it takes to keep guys like Bobby Portis and Brooke Lopez, and even on Jericho Sims as well. And when you look at the injuries in the conference, if you say, we have the resources to keep these guys and stay young, and we got Giannis here, if we keep that team together, we're not going to be the one seed. We're not going to be the two seed. But we feel like we can lean into that chemistry we found last year and play in this way and be a team that has a chance when you get to the playoffs without having to do things like you mentioned the contracts of Pat Connaughton. Kyle Kuzma, too. We'll see if he has a bounce back year. If not, that's a guy that becomes a $22 million expiring contract next summer, where they have some things to do this summer. But next summer, they figure to have a decent amount of money to work with as well, where you have Kuzma expiring, Damian Lillard expiring, Pat Connaughton would be off the books, where you're going to have even more flexibility next year. And that's why you're starting to see, okay, maybe this could be a gap year of sorts for the Bucks.
Justin, I know you have multiple jobs, and I also know that you got to clean your shoe collection. You like to do that on Mondays. Do you have a few more minutes to stick around?
Sure.
That's why you're the best. We'll talk more with our Bucks buddy, Justin Garcia. I'm going to get into a little bit about Doc Rivers, because I see you in the YouTube comments, folks. Not a lot of huge Doc Rivers fans in the YouTube comments, so I'm a little bit curious. So
somebody went to, he gave a speech and said he was dynamite. He gave a speech down in Chicago, said he's one of the best speakers he's ever had, that they've ever listened to.
So, but can he drop a blob? We will talk more with Justin Garcia. Baseline out of bounds play? Blob? Yeah? No?
Blob.
Dude, you know what they call him?
I'm not a coach like you. I don't have blobs.
I love you, man. More Wilde and Tausch, straight ahead. Stick around.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Customizable just to you. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today.
With our Bucks buddy Justin Garcia on Wilde and Tausch. Justin, so we were having this conversation last week about the Packers because Ed Policy made it very clear that Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur will not get extensions before the season. He also does not like lame duck seasons, which means that's what they would be in theoretically in 2026 if they didn't get an extension. Or I suppose they could add 1 year to each of their contracts if this year's a middling year. But my point is that we talk a lot about continuity when it comes to the Packers, right? Obviously, with the coaching situation, with were they paying three coaches at once at one point?
That's over now, but yeah.
Yes, and Doc coming in when he did. We talked about this past season. Well, now Doc will have an entire offseason with this team and have a from the start. Well, now we are entering into year 2.5 with him in charge. What are your expectations for, and I know as you went through all the free agents, there's still a lot of moving pieces. But now, is there value to this potential continuity, especially if Giannis turns out to be happy and willing to stay and not looking to be traded, and he's happy with Doc Rivers as the coach, is there potentially a chance that things are even more smoothly run because he will have finally kind of reached his rhythm, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think continuity is ever a bad thing. I think we saw what it brought last year, especially with the defense. The offense was not where you expected it to be with Giannis and Dame on the same team, but they started to find things down the stretch. The bigger part of it, and you mentioned it before, I see it all the time on my shows and hear it from people as well. I get the prevailing feeling about Doc Rivers from a lot of Bucks fans. But, you know, you just mentioned paying three coaches. They are in no hurry to do that again. And it's also something that I think you're more apt to make that type of change if this was the 2022 team, where you look at it and say, we are clearly one of the two best teams in the league, or at very least our conference, and we feel like we are on the doorstep of that. That is clearly not where this team is. And, you know, we can pick apart what Doc Rivers does well or what he doesn't do well at X's and O's. He leaves this to be desired, or whatever it is that you think he is doing wrong. But if number 34 likes him and says, I want to play for this guy, I have a good relationship with him, I want him here, then he's going to be there. And that should be something that you should want as well, if it means Giannis stays in Milwaukee.
Is that the case, JG? Does he love Doc? Does he want to be here with Doc? Is that who he is going to hitch his wagon to?
I mean, I'm not going to pretend to know Giannis's inner feelings. I know there's a lot of reporting on that. I do know that there's a good relationship pretty much across the board. I mean, I would say from the things that I observed, I think Doc, of all the guys on his team, probably has the strongest relationship with Damian Lillard. But you can definitely see that with his interaction with the players and how they feel about him. And, you know, look, I think the other thing is this. This is a job for these guys, too. And I just don't think, not to say that this is, you know, applicable to every single player in the league, but I don't think every player is viewing it the way that fans are and saying, I want to play for this guy because he's the best tactician that's out there. And this guy's going to help get me there. There are those, right? And that's certainly something that's important. But it's a job to these guys, too. And I think a big part of this is when I go to work, you know, when you go to the office, you're going to the radio station, you're unfortunately working with Jesse and people like that. It's the same with these guys. When I go to work, yeah, I mean, trying to name names that you'd want to be around. But when you're going to the arena, those are your coworkers. And you want to surround yourself with those guys of, you know what, I like being around this guy. He makes it fun. Yeah, that's what I want to sign up for. And it's not always the, well, why wouldn't you want to play for Eric Spoelstra? They should try to get him. Like, yes, there are those guys. And there should be some of that. But this is a job to those guys as well.
Yeah, it's about the, I mean, it comes back to, just like in everything else, money. Money and fit and all of the other stuff. So, all right, we have a fun little game drawn up, JG. Where you're, it's a game that my daughter loves. It's called Yerp or Nyerp.
Oh, it's back.
So when Jesse brings up a free agent and or someone he thinks may or may not be on this Bucks roster in September, you say Yerp, and if you want to give a little side note, great. That is completely up to you. But Jesse, this is a game we thought we were going to bury. We have, like Lazarus, has risen. Go ahead, Jelly Belly.
Well, let's start it with someone in-house then. Let's go with Brooke Lopez, JG. Yerp.
Oh, I'm fast.
Or Nerp.
So this is what I think.
Yes, your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Your opinion.
Well, at the moment, I would say Nerp because I think there is a robust market for Brooke Lopez. And I think you have to have a walk-away figure if you're the Bucks. And I think what he's going to command is going to be above that.
What's he going to get?
Yeah, and
what
why?
Do you think he's going to command?
He's
73 years old.
Jeez.
I think he's going to get close to that non-tax mid-level. So he's going to make $10-plus million a year. He's not going to go from $25 million to the veteran minimum that Bucks fans hope for. But he's still valuable. He's a stretch big. He's a great rim protector. Is he the most athletic big? No. But if you surround him with the right pieces, he's still an incredibly valuable player.
What do the Bucks look at? What do you think the Bucks would feel comfortable paying him?
It, It's tough because it depends on what you do with Bobby Portis and what you get Gary Trent Jr. and Kevin Porter Jr. for, if you can retain those guys, because otherwise you're going to go past that first apron and into the tax, which if they use the non-tax mid-level, they can't do. So they'd probably love, like, I mean, they would love if he could take like $8 million, but I just don't see that happening.
He's 37,
if that's the case, and they really should have looked at moving him at the trade deadline last year, don't you think?
No, because you still had Giannis and Dame, and you had to play for that year.
Okay.
Nerp.
All right, Jesse.
The wily old veteran and a great bowler, Chris Paul, is on the market. Yerp or
no.
Nerp?
No, nerp.
He could not have nerped it faster.
I mean,
Jesse, too much creative control here.
Number one, he doesn't want to come to the Midwest and Milwaukee, but also the Bucks are in an era where Giannis needs to be the oldest player on the team.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yerp.
I like that line. That's a really good line.
Last year on the Brooklyn Nets, and Bleacher Report says this could be a good candidate for the Bucks to pursue in free agency.
Bleacher Report.
Yeah, that's a list I found.
Are you going to throw Cam Thomas out there?
I am not. D'Angelo Russell.
Oh.
Yerp or nerp?
This is just nerp.
That's another nerp.
Oh, God.
You already have Kevin Porter Jr. in-house that is theoretically going to come cheaper, and he's much younger. If you're going to pay for that, you're going to retain Kevin Porter Jr.
Why don't you just tell us if there's a free agent that the Bucks might want to go sign?
Well, I mean, I thought we were doing their actual guys. Right, just went through every
that's what
one
I
that
thought, too. JT, I apologize.
Here's the deal. Find a list of the top free agents out there.
No, that's not what I said. You want D'Angelo Russell as a top free agent? He is number 28.
All right, I would like to take over the game if I could.
Hold up one second, Jason. I want to apologize because I thought I gave Jesse enough notice. It's on me. I said the current – I wanted to get an idea of Brooke and, you know, Bobby Portis, the guys that the Bucks are they going to retain. Not some Chris Paul. Like, come on, dude. You just wasted JG's time,
you
Jesse.
Asked for the Chris top Paul. List
I didn't.
Number
one, I never
LeBron.
Once asked for
Should
Chris
I ask
Paul
about LeBron?
If he was going to be a Milwaukee Buck. Ever, never, nerp, 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 nerp. Go ahead, Jason. This thing is live. I've lost control. That's not – JG, I apologize and – in post-advance of this.
If only they had traded Kyle Kuzma straight up for KD, everything would have been fine. All right. The Bucks remaining free agents that have not been
Jonathan Kuminga
or Nerps.
Oh, God.
Gary Trent, a junior. Gary Trent Jr., unrestricted free agent.
Yeah, I think that's a Nerp. Because I think he is going to be the one they value the most because of his age and his fit. And it's been a revolving door, two guards for the Bucks. I mean, it's been a model of, hey, come to the Bucks playing alongside Giannis, knock down threes, you're going to get paid. But they finally found a guy that's young enough that you can build around and have him as one of those pieces. And again, when you look at the free agents at two guard, some of the names that Jesse mentioned, some other ones, Cam Thomas is a high volume scorer that's out there. Nickeil Alexander-Walker is certainly going to be a guy that's warranting more than Gary Trent Jr. Even our old friend Malik Beasley is going to take up some of that money. So I also don't think the market is out there for Gary Trent Jr. to command the full non-tax pyramid level, which just makes it easier for the Bucks to retain it.
All right, two more unrestricted free agents. Taurean Prince, as you mentioned, who I believe played on a vet minimum deal this past season and, like, started almost all the games.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I guess I would say Nerp because there hasn't been anything linking him back to the Bucks. But I would certainly keep the door open to retain him on that 120% raise. And just bring him back as a rotational piece. He's not going to be a heavy minutes and a starter guy as you played him last year, but he's still, you know, young enough and gave you some value as a 3-and-D guy that I wouldn't shut the door on retaining him for another veteran minimum.
So he's more of a pyerp, a possible yerp.
Yeah, he's a pyerp. We'll see what happens.
Just trying out some stuff here. Mm. All right, and then their last unrestricted free agent is Jericho Sims.
So I guess I would say Europe for the similar reasons to Gary Trent Jr. in that you have his bird rights. So again, you can offer more than the veteran minimum. And it also means if you have the bird rights, you're not dipping into the mid-levels that we mentioned. So you can pay more to retain him. There's certainly pieces there that you love to see with his defensive ability. The offense is still a bit clunky, but he's young. And especially if Brook Lopez moves on, it puts more importance on retaining Bobby Portis and keeping another young guy in the fold like Jericho Sims. And I just, you know, again, for those reasons, you got Miles Turner, Brook Lopez, and other bigs on the market. There's going to be teams that kick the tires on Jericho Sims, but it's not going to be a robust market. And that's the last thing I'll say, too. Speaking of Miles Turner, that's what makes this week interesting is the Halliburton injury. And the reporting going into Game 7 last night that the Pacers were going to be willing to go into the tax and keep Miles Turner, does that change
right
now that you're saying this is possibly a gap year? Maybe this is how we start to cleanse ourselves a little bit. And, you know, given his performance in the finals, too, we're not going to pay him $30 million a year. So if he gets that elsewhere, he leaves. If he gets that elsewhere, that is more money that is being spent by teams that have money that, again, takes away from that pot that can go out there, the free agents that the Bucks have, which in turn would help them retain these guys.
Tausch mentioned that Pat Connaughton picked up his option, his player option. Bobby Portis has a player option. Kevin Porter Jr. has a player option. And then Tausch's favorite player, Ryan Rollins, is a restricted free agent. So those are the other three that are in flux.
I think you certainly have the conversations with Bobby of, look, we know you want to get paid more. If you can find it out there, bring it to us. But we would love to have you here, and we'll just give you more guaranteed money. If you decline this player option of, what, $13, $14 million that he's set to make, you decline that, we'll give you $33 million over 3 years, and we'll give you a 2+1 where 2 years from now, you're in the same spot that you can create more leverage and say, I'm opting out of my contract and we'll see what the market is there. But if you do that, we keep this pieces together. You're playing alongside Giannis. You're going to start for us. Your numbers will go up and it helps us do other things to keep this team competitive.
All right, JG. I know we kept you a really long time, but
Fred VanVleet made $42 million last year.
Good for Fred.
Jesse has gone down the free agent rabbit hole. We're never
Fred
getting him
Van
back.
VanVleet?
A player option for $44 million this year, which I'm guessing they have already worked out a he will decline that and sign a long-term deal now that they have traded for Kevin Durant. Before we go, I have one question for you guys. I don't mean this as an insult. Would you say you're casual NBA fans?
No, Tausch is a heavy.
No, he's an insider.
I'm
not an insider, well, but I know the big picture stuff. No, I'm a big picture guy, JG.
How invested in this finals were you?
I was invested, I would say, and not minimally, but I wasn't like watching every second, but I was definitely intrigued. I thought it was a really good series, like, and fun to watch.
It was arguably the best we've seen since the 90s. How much of the story was about the play on the court, would you say? Like, if you were just a casual guy coming in and observing the league and saying, what's the story with these teams? How much of that story was told?
Probably, I think the Halliburton, the injury part of it, was more at the top than I just feel like Oklahoma City was, and they used this word on ESPN today, mundane. It was, they made it look easy for the vast majority of the season. And outside of SGA, I don't think many casual NBA fans know anything about them. That's what I think.
Even Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I don't think, and this is the problem the league has, they have not done a good enough job of creating and developing and projecting these stars and letting you know what makes Shai Gilgeous-Alexander great. You may have known he won the MVP. You may have known the Thunder are a really good team. You don't know why. And you hear things like net rating tossed around and don't know what that means. I think that's the problem the league has. I mean, that and the what's going on with Achilles tears in the playoffs, especially Achilles tears with guys wearing the jersey number zero. But that to me, and even you know, things like having Kevin Durant traded on game seven, the day of game seven of your NBA finals, which just means, you know, if the Halliburton injury doesn't happen today, the discourse is the Western Conference and Kevin Durant and who's the next star traded. And we've already moved on from the Thunder winning the championship. And then, oh, by the way, 2 days later, it's the draft. Like the fact that you have your draft that close to the season ending, this series lasted 18 games, 18 days. That's another thing the league has to look at and address. Of, I get the TV aspect, but why are we doing this?
Well, it sounds like you and Tausch are just the people to fix this, because one of Tausch's areas of expertise is fixing things sometimes that are broke. Other times, he's just improving them. But the,
we already fixed the draft, Tausch, so I'll send you my notes on the rest of the stuff.
Yep. All right. Yeah, just let me know. We'll keep plugging away. We'll get things fixed up.
JG, we're always smarter when we talk to you. And for those that tune into this show for Bucks coverage and don't get it very often, we're lucky to have you to come in and do that for folks. We appreciate you, buddy. Thanks.
See you guys.
That is the great Justin Garcia. You can hear him on his Locked On Bucks podcast. You can also certainly hear him on the Bucks radio network during the season. Tausch, he was locked in, we're locked in, and you're locked in as a UW Credit Union member now.
I am indeed. And for every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you. Proudly serving Wisconsin for over 90 years, they're going to help you reach your financial goals. And people ask me, why did you join UW Credit Union? Well, I like keeping my banking local. I love their member-first service. And I love great perks like early payday. But really, I just love Bucky. Love Bucky. Going to head over. Probably catch Bucky over at Squat Fest on Friday. And if you love Wisconsin like I do, you just can't pay with anything else. Fan will make you do crazy things, but this just makes sense. Become a UW Credit Union member. Get your Bucky card like I did. Federally insured by NCUA. Terms and conditions do apply.
A Bulaga-esque kickoff to the 10 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.